Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
So I know I'm not going to basically be able to even compete with the guests today.
Well, they're pros.
But
they're
pros at this. They're pros, right? But I'm going to try this, right? Because I'm, you know, can I? What is it? Was it network that the guy just stood up in the middle of the broadcast said, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired"?
Howard Beasley.
Okay. So let me just say this because I need to get it off my chest. Okay. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and more so, I'm sick and tired of the 2016 election cycle. Okay, be it national or local. Okay,
so these guys love it. It's fodder for their shows.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not using it. I'm not using it. Okay, for its comic relief, but it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit too long of a good thing here, right? Yeah. I'm kind of done with it. So I'll just say that, and I started with this when I walked in and I asked you. You know, we're October. We're, you know, almost November, and why is it that we have elections in November?
Why?
Because the great month to pick out a turkey.
Oh, gobble.
But I'm bummed. What, no drum rolls for us today? What the heck, Paul? Come on, we need that. Okay.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I would take a bow, but I'd bang my head against the mic. Okay. But, okay, so let me just say, okay, it's been kind of a bizarre week. Okay,
because, you think?
Yeah. All right, and it seems like am I wrong? Am I wrong that it just seems to get worse as we get closer? It's like we got this countdown. You know, it's like doomsday clock, right? 2 weeks from election day, 2.5 weeks from election day. 100 days, 99 days left in office. I mean, it's like doomsday.
And what nobody talks about is, okay, whoever wins, how are they going to continue? This is just going to continue. The other side isn't going to stop attacking him and leaking stuff and finding bad stuff. This is going to go on for the next 4 years.
Okay, can I just say something? This is sort of, we all laugh, and we're going to do a lot of it, hopefully, on the show. I know I need it, so I need the laugh therapy.
That's
today,
right. You know,
seriously. But let me just take a minute and show you how serious this stuff is.
Okay.
And people are talking about it as being, oh, well, you know, it's just
reality TV.
It's just what happens every 4 years.
That's reality TV.
You know, there's no impact on the community. We it's just what we do. You know, we just go at each other's throats every 4 years, and that's all it is.
Over.
And everybody hugs around Thanksgiving. We forget about it come Christmas.
That's right.
About New Year's, we're all getting drunk together in Times Square, right? But here's how serious it is, okay? And especially with the intensity of social media, okay? And when I say it's serious, I think it's very, very serious reflection on anybody who's running that perpetuates and feeds into the fear and escalates the situation and makes for that hate to be escalated during that period. I actually had to do screen captures, okay, from a person that I blocked off a page that actually was literally calling me racial slurs and asking people to go target my business.
Oh, my God. Just because of what you
because
said.
Because I blocked him off a page which had rules and regulations that he could not conform to.
This is for San Clemente or something?
Yes. Okay. So just for a sobering moment, this is how serious this stuff is.
I'll give you my
example. There are a lot of people that are loose, hinged out there that are basically now being somehow given a green light, but who is saying they want to lead us in particular roles or whatever, and those things have to be checked.
Well, social media allows that to happen. You sit anonymously in your underwear and you can scream at anybody. You know, it's not
right,
the
but
same.
Screaming is one thing, but it's a very fine line. It's a razor's edge, if you will. When that person who feels entitled to their anger and somehow being green-lighted by other people not checking them and to be reasonable in a civil society, to basically cross that line and even with the anonymity of social media ask for retribution. Not against a person only, but also their livelihood.
I'll give you my example. A very good friend of mine, childhood friend of mine from back in the Midwest, one of those old angry white guys we talk about who are voting for Trump. We get into the debate on Facebook, and he shoots back, and he shoots back and says, well, you're right, Trump probably will lose. I guess our only hope is assassination. And I said, you can't – I literally shot back. I said, number one, I can't believe you said that. Two, I can't believe you believe that. And if you do, where, what does that say about America? His father was a vice president for General Motors growing up. I grew up in an affluent suburb of Detroit. Yep. This isn't just some unhinged lunatic. I mean, he seems like an unhinged lunatic to me right now. I don't know who this guy is anymore. I grew up with him.
Well, and here's the thing. I just got a text message from my wife who says I'm going to be able to listen only to half of the show. She told me that earlier,
and she said, "Get on with it."
I'm telling me to get off topic. Yes, honey. Yes, honey. I get it. But it's not really off topic. Okay, because the guest that I have in the show today, we talk about the healing power of laughter.
Yes,
the healing power of humor. Okay, taking things one day at a time, taking things with this level of seriousness of the now, but not basically carrying all that animosity, be it 4 years, 8 years, whatever, right, with us, and then basically feeling that, you know, every 4 years we have this sort of, you know, carte blanche to basically unleash on people, or even maybe in different circumstances, not just the
same. And then assume
election.
It all goes away.
Right, but we are a community, even a country, okay, that needs to chill. Needs to loosen up a little bit, okay? Needs to put things in perspective and deal with things in a different manner. And one way, in a way, we need to heal and heal through things that can bring us together, make us laugh, okay? So it's not really off topic. I'm trying to lay the ground of how serious and how much we are in need as a community, as a country, for that side of us also to be fed.
Amen.
And not just the screaming radio, the negativity of the news, the gotcha moments, all of this stuff that, to be honest, does not just happen during election cycles. We have become this
sensationalized 24/7 cycle
that we cannot even get out of. I mean, I feel like somebody that's not only been tortured, but that has post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Not to take away from anybody who has that as a medical condition, but we are
on that note, let's be funny.
See, people say we can't tie it back to the show.
So bring in your guests. Who we got?
So you know what? That's what they do for a living. They stand up in front of the mic and they introduce themselves.
So the guest.
Here's our guest.
Take it away.
Thank you. I do have one political joke. And I get all three of them in there. So.
Okay, good.
So
let's
since you're on the political thing.
Go for it.
Let's do it.
So I was at the Irvine Improv recently, and I do work with seniors. So I said, well, you know, I was at a senior home, and Bernie walked in. And he said, do you know who I am? Do you know my name? Do you know my name? About the fifth time, some guy in the back stands up and goes, look, mister, we don't know who the heck you are, but if you go see that lady at the front desk, she knows everybody's name and she can help you find out who you are. Now, one good thing about Bernie is he was going to offer free colonoscopies for everybody.
Wow.
Such a deal.
Such a deal.
The only problem is you wouldn't find out your result. It would get stuck in Hillary's email.
Uh-oh.
But you know what? No problem. Trump would bring in those super Russian hackers and they would dig and find your result. Of course, Trump would put it on Twitter and you would know your neighbors and they would know your results.
Right.
But hey, that's what it's all about, sharing, right?
Yes,
make
it's
the
all.
Country great and help
hilarious.
Everybody.
That's so
and
funny.
That's all I have for
thank you. And you know, she actually restrained herself from using the word WikiLeaks.
We'll give her a round of applause.
So Nancy Ann, introduce yourself. Give a little bit of background about yourself.
I am Nancy Ann Horvath. I am a nurse, an actor, a comic, a mom, I'm married. I think I've done everything. I've had one of those fun lives. You just mention it, and I probably did it. Yeah, I worked as a magician's assistant. I lived in New York City. I worked at Radio City Music Hall.
Cool. Wow.
Life should be fun every day.
You were a magician's assistant. All right, that one.
I was
got
a lot
me on
tinier then. You have to be really small. They put you in these weird boxes.
So you
I was smaller.
How did they cut people in half? Come on.
Oh, I do know how they do that. Actually, they don't want you to know that, so they just say, I knock two times and you do this and
that's
three
right.
times. And so, but yeah, you really, I've seen too many people when I was a full-time nurse at UCLA and places like that. They hold off. I'll do this later.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do this when I retire. And then comes the heart attack, and then comes the surgery.
Right.
So I've always been doing nursing and acting. And I did that in New York and L.A. And
do you have to act while you're nursing?
I've done that, too. And sometimes I play a nurse.
And nurse while you're
sometimes,
stand-up. Yeah. Oh, that doesn't look too bad.
You know,
God. I will say, I was reading your bio on your website, and it was really funny. You said that at the age of five, you knew you wanted wanted to be a nurse because?
Because of those crisp white uniforms that they don't wear anymore and the hats. We live next to a hospital.
The KKK said the same thing.
Who is that?
Oh, this is going to be a good show.
Who is that masked man that just wrote in here?
The crisp white uniform.
So did you want to be in the KKK?
Oh, no.
I did. I couldn't pass the entrance exam.
Did you like their uniforms, too?
I did. But you can't be in the KKK after Memorial Day, right?
No.
You can't wear white after Memorial
Day. Oh, that's only on the East Coast. That's why I've
You remember the line kind of from Blazing Saddles?
Yeah.
Which one?
Where the guy, they're standing trying to get in on the villains that are being hired to basically go raid the town, and they knock out a couple of KKK members, and they put on their clothes. And
right.
Why am I blanking?
Cleavon Little.
And Gene Wilder, who just passed away, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he stands there, and he'll sign your name, and he sticks his hands out, and he can see that his skin is, let's say, less white than the sheet that he's wearing. And then Gene Wilder jumps in and says, I've told you a million times to wash your hands after a cross burning.
And then he says, "Where are all the white women?
Where are the white women at?" Okay, so
Rufus
so,
says that all the time.
So Nancy Ann, who did you bring with you?
And why
did you bring it with you?
Who did you bring and why?
I brought my friend Rufus Tanksley. We met 5 years ago, four years ago, doing stand-up. And what a great guy. We've become friends, and he was a police officer in Santa Ana. He retired, and I think he's busier now than he ever was. Wow. He's doing acting and comedy.
I think that's as crazy as being a magician's assistant.
So when did you retire, Rufus? Or Tank, as you asked me to call you?
About 4 years ago.
And how long were you a policeman?
Just 24 years.
Wow.
Wow, just. Wow.
Yeah, people ask me why I became a police officer, and I said it's easy. If you've heard the adage, if you can't beat them, join them. Mine was, if they can beat you, join them.
Seriously,
we'll give him a little applause. That's
pretty funny. Yeah, we'll
give him some applause
for that.
We'll give him some applause.
Right. We are not PC today on this show.
We are not going to be PC.
It gets better.
But it's okay. It's all right. We're under no obligations to be PC.
Since this is supposed to be a baby boomer show about aging baby boomers like me, I'm going to date myself. And you probably don't remember there was
no PC. You're pre-PC, right?
I'm pre-PC. There was a show called Make Me Laugh, syndicated show. It used to be around for years. A Gary Muledeer, who was a big comedian, and Bobby Van hosted it here. So we
don't get names like that anymore, do we?
No. Wow.
Muledeer and Van Host.
He was funny. And Mike Binder, who grew up not far from where I did in suburban Detroit. All these guys run, and I feel like we're doing this again, so it's Make Me Laugh here today.
Well, I'm an elder, too, actually. I'm 57, which is only like 37 in Caucasian years. I'm okay. I'm older, too.
Ouch.
Black don't crack unless you're on crack. I'm all right, too.
So, you know what's funny, though, is you guys are not, whether you're continuing, you're still doing, are you still practicing nursing?
I still do nursing on TV and movie sets.
Oh, okay.
I'm the baby nurse to keep the kids safe. Kids are acting, and I'm there, you know, the law says you must have a real nurse there.
Yeah. So and when do you have to stop practicing, and when do you really do it here, for real?
No. I do both. Sometimes I
do. Oh, better.
Yeah, da-da. Go ahead, give yourself an applause.
No,
okay, we'll give you an applause.
Okay,
here we go.
You know, I'm going to go back to that PC thing that he was talking about, because this is why I actually started my Improv for Health, not because of PC, but too many people carry things.
Yes.
And somebody says something to them, it ticks them off, and then it bothers them, and their blood pressure goes up, and their brain's ready to explode. And I started Improv for Health because I said, you need to live in the moment and let it go. And every day we have moments where it's like, do we carry it around, or do we look at our shoulders and go, whoosh? And so I tell people, you need to whoosh and let it go. You know, I was telling a friend, and she said, somebody stepped on my toe on a bus. And I went, so did you say ouch? Well, I didn't think of saying that. So I said, all you had to do is say ouch. He would have said, I'm sorry. It would be over. So like, if I see you in the street and you do something, I'm going to say, hey, what was that about? Most people hold it in, and then we'll end up being friends and going out for a beer. So, hey, that's,
and where I was going with you guys both is I was trying, I was, it, I'm,
I realize. Easy for you to say.
That's all, folks.
did you not change out the little mini keg under the counter?
No.
Well, wait. Christmas is coming. We're going to be doing our show again with the crackling fire and the single malt.
2 hour of drinking here.
It's Beer Wednesday. Okay. Yeah,
but maybe we should have him back. I think that would be a good show.
We'll come back.
Every time a joke flies, we'll drink. Every time it falls, we'll drink.
We'll drink.
So, both of your jobs, when you were not necessarily practicing as a nurse on the movie sets, you were actually in hospital.
I was a nurse at UCLA. Right. Yes,
at UCLA.
Yes, many years.
You know what kind of were emergencies?
I worked all over because of the acting. I was like a float. And some nurses are real strict. I can only do this. Yeah. I said no. For me, it was more important to work when I wanted to work.
Right.
And then variety is a spice of life. Right. I got to work on all the different floors, and I think it's better.
So then Tank, 24 years in the police force. Mm-hmm. Were you in Santa Ana most of the time?
All the 24 years.
Oh my gosh! I mean, that's stories you could tell, right?
Oh my goodness! Right. A lot of my friends said I was just there to get material. Because I wasn't
serious.
Spent a lot of time getting material, right?
I did.
But I mean, those are really stressful jobs.
Yes, they are.
So you guys both know firsthand the need to be in that spot, right?
That's true.
In that zone.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're advocating as far as the healing and the healthy need for that, the retention of balance in your life, to mm-hmm. not let things, you know, blow out of proportion, to say ouch and
let it go.
Let it go.
And that's why you have your second shoulder. Look at it and go, whoosh, it's over. Don't mm-hmm. carry it around with you.
So do you find that these days that's even more critical to remind people?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, even the young people don't know that. You know, it's like, come on, live in the moment. You don't know. We all don't know. How many more moments do we have left? We have friends that lost their moments.
Right.
So it's like, you know, this was what it's all about. You know, enjoy what you have now. And also, like, talk to people. When I travel, mm-hmm. I go into the restrooms, and I always tap the ladies on the shoulder and say,
when you
hey.
Travel, you always go into the restrooms?
Is yeah, that the I always use a restroom. I'm big on using restrooms.
Okay.
And especially,
what do you carry, a bag with you? I mean, what do you do, Paul?
You don't use a restroom?
I don't want to know.
So
I got this.
There must be a joke
mason
in
jar in the car.
I thank those ladies for coming to work. And I've had a few of the people that work at airports cry on my shoulders. And they said, nobody's ever said that. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, thanks for coming to work. You did a great job. One time I went in the bathroom and clapped. And I said, oh my gosh, you know, it's just, and I said that to a friend. She goes, well, I would, but what would they think about mm-hmm. me? I said, it's not about you.
It's funny. Yeah. I went to a restroom and got the clap.
Well, that's it's all kind of related here.
Hey, okay. I like how that works.
Okay. I just go in and clap.
So
she gave, you got.
I gave, you got.
Harmonious relationship.
We're still laughing
so why do you
about
it. So why do you think that's the case? I mean, it's interesting you pointed out that it wasn't just people that are, you know, what you would refer to as like grumpy old men or people of certain age, you know, they're just basically pissed off at life. It's even the young people that don't realize that they should do that.
They make it about themselves. And again, it's not about you. What will they think of me if I talk to them? Who cares? Maybe they'll laugh. Maybe they'll walk away, you know. But it's the idea, don't make it about yourself.
So it's the self-absorption maybe has a lot to do with it.
I mean, when I lived in New York City, I would talk to the homeless. If I couldn't give them money, I said, wow, I got a high bill at home. You want to pay that? And I'll give you $5. And they would just laugh. It's like, no, you keep your bill and I don't need your $5.
That's funny.
So it's like, just address people because people are people, you know, and Rufus sees that, you know, and police officer work. It's just talk
so
to them.
So you're both we're in professions that we wouldn't think of as perhaps funny. Dealing with the sick or dying, dealing with the absolute most difficult situations as a cop.
Yeah, but a lot of times you do it just because if you don't, it's going to fester in your stomach.
Yes, and that's what I was
you're
going
to get your, you know. I do jokes on stage about I've seen a guy who blew himself up, and it's true. He shot himself right in the head in front of me.
Oh,
but then
God.
I'll say he had blue eyes. One blew over here and one blew over there. Not everybody does, but that's the kind of humor.
He gets a clap for that one.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you're just sick and morbid.
I know.
Yeah.
And before I even go further, I want to thank you for actually being here. I was a little nervous about coming to the Rad Life.
You were?
Yeah. I was as nervous as Donald Trump at a quinceañera. I decided to come out anyway.
You decided to go
I was as nervous as Hillary Clinton at the Ambassador Guard Ball or whatever. But yeah, no, I'm happy to be here. Yes. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Wait till Rod starts swinging, though.
Yeah. Bring it out.
No, I mean, I'm supposed to. I know, I'm hoping that show will bring me down because the last couple of days have been really, like, kind of crazy. But no, it's true. And the funny thing is that I know that, right? I know to let it go.
Yes.
I tell people to be in the moment. I mean, it's not that I don't know, but even when you do, you forget.
But it's the idea of practicing it. That's true.
Yeah.
So with my business that I started, I teach people live in the moment. And it is like a habit.
So what's the business you started here?
My business is
you've been trying to plug it a couple times here. We just keep pushing right past
it. What kind of
business? Improv for health. Improvisation. If you have it in your life every day, you could do it easier. Like you were saying, you know it, but do you really practice it every day?
So these workshops you do, and who do you do them for?
I started in senior centers with the seniors with memory care facilities, but now I've been talking to business people because even engineers, they're now doing improvisation in, you know, regular businesses. Why you need improv? Think outside the box. It's okay to let your mind wander. Mm-hmm. You may come up with a good idea. I was doing it for a group of unemployed seniors. Mm-hmm. They needed to work, 60 and above. And I said to this lady, what do you like to do? She goes, oh, well, I'm a legal secretary, but nobody asked me that, but I love to organize. I said, so you go in, you give them your resume, you sweep your hand over the attorney's desk because they're all messy, and you say, in my spare time, I could organize. And she went, oh, I would never do that. So we did a little improv games about, you know, lawyer stuff, organizing. She called me back 3 weeks later.
She goes,
I got a job, and I did my hand, and I said, I could organize. And boy, was his desk a mess. And I said, nowadays, the way the economy is, you have to think like that.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things I like about improv. We had somebody else on who was a corporate trainer. Sort of like what you're doing, and had been in improv with the Groundlings and some other big troops.
Oh, sure.
And her whole thing was, and I've heard this before about improv, the amazing thing about improv is that it only has one rule. And the rule is, whatever somebody says, you have to say yes, and.
And there's my button that I'm wearing.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. It's right there.
So explain that, because in our life,
explain that to
in
me.
Our life, everything is no, or some other answer. You never if when people walk up to you and say, do you want to be hit in the face? You don't go, yes, and.
I say, yes, and after you decide to hit me, we'll go out for coffee, and then we'll become real good friends. So everything that you want to say no to, like I know you have a meeting afterwards, and I'll say, yes, and first we'll have our coffee, and then you could go to your meeting. You really could say yes, and squeeze it in the other thing.
So when somebody screams on social media and says, you dirty so-and-so, blah, 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 and then and you say, yes,
and your mother.
You say yes, and you can have your comments, and I can have mine.
I think we can just turn off the mics right now. I got all the tools I need from Tank.
You got your tools. You're ready to go.
And your mother. That's pretty much the fallback.
But think about that. If you did that every day in work, when your boss confronts you, when your kids confront you, when your spouse confronts you, when somebody screams at you in social media, when you want to scream at the TV set, if instead of saying no, which we say all the time, or fighting back, if we said yes and.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
How
and.
Different the whole
How
conversation
different
would be.
The world would be.
Okay, so why does that work? Okay, let's look at that for a minute.
About
okay,
let's
I'm going to tell you how
it's an amazing
works.
Power. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you how it works.
Because, I could spend, 6 years trying to get, like, martial arts and self-defense.
That's
but
right.
I just got verbal self-defense.
You did.
Verbal judo. Verbal
okay,
judo.
So every day I try to add the yes and I elevate people, whether they want to be elevated or not.
Right.
So I was at Macy's and something was wrong with my bill. And the girl is like, oh, I'm just a sales clerk. I can't help you. And I went, yes. And tomorrow you'll be the manager. So I'm going to go to the bathroom. Remember, I said I go to the bathroom a lot. And I drink water and beer. So anyway, I said
Macy's.
At Macy's. Hey, where's the water and beer at Macy's?
I want to go shopping with her.
So I said to this young girl that wanted to stay a sales clerk, I said, you're going to be the manager tomorrow. So when you figure this out in 5 or 10 minutes, I'll be back. And her jaw just dropped. She wanted me to say, okay, you can't handle it. I said, go talk to your manager. I came back in 5, 10 minutes. And she said, I talked to my manager. Your bill was taken care of. And by the way, here's a $25 gift card.
Right.
Because she... so many people want to stay in this level. So I just elevate them, whether they want to be elevated or not.
Well, and it diffuses the anger.
Elevate and empower.
Because when you come at me, I respond in kind. And that's what Donald Trump doesn't understand. When some little tiny person tweets about him, he feels he has to come in and crush them.
Yes.
He can't let anybody say anything about him. He has to defend every comment.
Well, yes, and is also positive. When you're on stage and you're doing improv, if you say no, then you've taken away everything the last person has said.
Yeah.
And so
and
then
no
now you have to start again.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, to your point, though, I think when you say yes, before you say the and, the yes part also is disarming. Mm-hmm. Because they already got their guard up.
If you're agreeing. Mm-hmm.
Coming at you, and then with the yes, basically just...
That's right.
I used to do this. I had an Irish...
So you hear that, honey? That's why I say I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree.
Is honey still listening?
She's still listening.
I'll give you an example. I used to own an Irish pub, an Irish bar down in Mission Viejo called Kelly McHugh's. It was there for 10 years, a long time. Mm-hmm. And
where everybody knew New Paul's.
Everybody knew
I bet you had lots of beer there.
We had lots of, and good beer.
Really functional bathrooms right here.
Big bathrooms.
I like dark beer.
So, I used to try and teach art because people get intoxicated. They have too much to drink or they start to want to get in a fight or whatever. You looked at my girlfriend. You looked at me. Mm-hmm. You touched this. Mm-hmm. You want to cut me off. There's a lot of that confidence. You know, like. Clearly, we tried to teach them not to get them that point here. That's the new modern bar. You can't just get people drunk.
But that was in South County, right?
Yeah.
Close to Côte de Caucasian up there?
Yes, right.
Okay,
right down
the
street.
Right.
So, this guy's loaded trees, right? I'm just setting him up for him here.
Remember, 24 years in Santa Ana. As far as he's concerned, that's the deep south.
Simon.
That's the deep south. I like that. You guys are all on fire here.
That's the deep south,
it
right?
Is. That's what we say. It's South County.
My whole point is going to be lost here by the time we get all through the jokes here.
Oh, you were saying something?
Talking about his bar.
Lo siento.
So we would go up to... I would try and teach the bouncers, the door help, mm-hmm. that when somebody called up and said, your mother, your mm-hmm. wife's a whore, you're a jerk, your mother's a whore, I screwed your mother 57 times.
Just turning into the Billy Bush on the bus.
Yeah. There. And I would say, what you have to say is, whatever they say to you, you say, yes, but you still, yes, and. You
yes,
still have
and,
to go.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yes, you're right, my wife's a whore, but you still got to go.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm a total jerk, but you still got to go. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. My mother screwed the entire 7th Fleet.
Exactly.
You still
got to
go. Because guys would say, well, she said this. And I say, so what? He's drunk.
And like Rad said, they're ready for a fight. Right. So you're not going to play into that. You're just going to go, yes, and. Mm-hmm. And then just go.
But I think, Nancy, to your point earlier, okay, that's all great to say the yes, and. But you got to be ready to let it go.
Right.
Because if you don't. That yes and could actually just be another step to escalation. Like you gotta do the yes and, but then you gotta let it go.
I think it makes you feel let it go. Because the minute you say yes and you've moved on
and it empowered you in some way.
Yes.
And again, like this girl at Macy's, I empowered her. I mean, she was ready to say, I can't take care of her. I'm just a sales clerk.
Yeah.
And when she took care of the bill, I looked at her. I go, hey, you're moving on to supervisor. And she goes,
I used to do this as a PR person all the time. We'd walk in.
And it didn't cost you anything. In fact, it was smart on your part because you got the situation resolved.
Right.
We'd walk into a hotel ballroom and I had a client or something and we'd come in. Well, we did this with OC Talk Radio. We'll go into some place and they'll say, I'll walk into an event and say, we're here to cover this event. And they'll say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. We could, and they start to immediately throw up all these around and say, yes, and yes, I know. But I still need this over here. I still need the table over here. I still need over that. And I need. And you just take charge of it. You don't let them stop you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't let that become the barrier that keeps you from
And maybe also the yes part. Also acknowledges that you heard them.
I heard you.
That's right. You're not closing them off. You're not saying no, but
you're not ignoring them.
Yes, exactly.
And it's real difficult for a lot of people, especially alpha males, to be able to deflect it by agreeing. It is very difficult, but you do so. And yes, and in my job, I would want to. How do you say it? Like, use some aggressive terminology towards someone,
yeah.
But that's what they're expecting, and that's what they wanted to get out of you. Using yes and is so disarming. Mm-hmm. Like if you said, oh, yeah, and your mother's a whore, I go, you know, Mom? I would say stuff like that. Or they would say something, you know, my dad used to beat me. I go, you had a dad? Something like that.
Yes, and next time you're at my house, make sure to take the trash out when you leave.
Yeah, yes, and pick up your socks.
Exactly. And pick up your socks. I'm sick and tired of giving them.
And I think your robe is there, too.
He left your robe.
Yeah. So if Hillary stood up tonight and said tonight's the night of the debates, last debate, if for those listening later it's a podcast, the third debate's tonight, if she and Donald Trump launches into her and you're crooked and you're dishonest and you're corrupt, and she just went, yes, and.
Exactly.
Yes,
we should be more like, yes, and would you like to grab my lady bits?
Yeah. So have right. If she said that, she would be the talk of the news. The
yes,
next,
she
would just totally kill his whole.
So, now, if they're listening to our show here and they do this, I think we're going to know.
Well, did you notice how it was being publicized?
What, the debate?
It blew me away.
Yeah, tonight
it was like it was like, you know, Rumble in the Jungle.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it?
It was
like a boxing match, the way that they were basically visuals on it, the sound bites on it, the lead up to it, the side by side.
Trump's group said that they're like 7 points down, so he's got to come out swinging.
Yeah.
Hers is like, okay, let's calm down, but I have to show him presidential
myself,
defend. And Saturday Night Live is going, yeah!
Yes,
whatever you guys do.
Now, because let's go back and look at the basis of this.
I'm thinking Don King is the one who's basically moderating, not friggin'
in this corner.
And all the corner. Comics
standing
are there
70 years
honest to God, the picture side by side, I'm like, wait a minute. You know, all it needs is, like, let's get it ready to rumble, and McMahon just basically pulling the mic down.
But why? Because the basis of drama, which is what all television is based on, drama is conflict.
You
can't have drama without conflict.
Not
so when I studied screenwriting for years, if you want to write a drama, you got to have conflict. And conflict is what attracts attention to something. It's what makes people stop in the street and watch.
I thought it was comedy that was all based in pain.
Not pain, but
comedy's based on reality. Not to get
twist.
Too serious here,
with the writing, you guys know.
I was watching Charlie Rose last night, one of my favorite shows, and they had Nathan Lane on, and they're doing a revival of Front Page, an old famous play from the 1920s that was made into a movie, My Gal Friday, with Cary Grant and. Whose name escapes me?
You went way broader.
Anyway,
way
all right.
Right now.
Anyway.
He went real white to me.
He went way over there.
Yeah,
Nathan Lane. And
I know. I saw that. Okay.
So they're talking about comedy.
Picked up on your Nathan
and they're
Lane.
Trying to say, why does this play from the 1920s? Why revive this play? Why is it still funny? Mm-hmm. And they said, because it has a basis in truth. All comedy is only funny if you can kind of see yourself falling.
True. That's
if you
true.
Can kind of see yourself doing that same thing and then you laugh at it.
The banana peel?
The banana peel type of stuff. So there's some power in comedy is just taking a serious situation and turning it a different direction. Yes, and.
Yes, and.
Yeah. The difference is tonight and debates, and I won't even get that political because just like you have, Rad, I've had friends that would take a bullet for me, seriously, and I would do the same for them. And we're no longer friends now just because they found out that although I make Republican money, I'm a Democrat.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do. We never discussed it for years. A couple
Didn't
of decades.
Matter.
Didn't matter.
Matter.
Right. Although when Obama became president, he said I only voted for him because he was black.
Right.
So now if I voted for Hillary, I have no idea because she's white, because she's white female.
Well but you're actually a woman. You actually want to come out and be a woman. So
I do.
I do. Yes, yes.
I got my marijuana card by telling them my ovaries hurt. So that's exactly how I do it.
You just want to make sure that your portfolio at Wall Street is protected.
I do. I really do.
I mean, it's like you're... It's insane. I mean, but
so if we use we got out of the drama mode, which is what television is based on,
right.
Which is what reality TV is based on.
Right.
I'll give you another example. I hadn't watched The Real Housewives of Orange County in years. For some reason, it was late. I was bored. I'm flipping the channels, and I thought, let's see what they're up to today. Nothing had changed. The episode was exactly the same as the first one I saw. They were they were telling each other they were love each other, and then they get drunk, and then they really insult each other, and the next day they're crying and complaining about it and going and telling their friends that they can't talk to her anymore because she said this, but he said this, and she said this, and I thought, it's a never-ending drama. Why would you watch this show the next week when it does the same thing over and over again? Why watch Donald Trump when why do you think Donald Trump's going to change when this is what got him?
Because
we
slow, it's the same reason we slowed down to watch an accident on the other side of the freeway.
Yeah, train tracks.
But if there was another one 10 feet and another one 10 feet, well, another, we stop every 10 feet?
Yes, because we have a very short attention span, and it's the least we expect from our rapid transit system is basically to have, keep our attention every 15 every miles feet, yeah. There's an accident.
And but there's playing, still soap operas on TV.
With different people playing the same roles, right? Same names, with the same dramas.
But real babies.
Right. Yeah. But playing devil's advocate, it's Trump obviously has the ear of many, many people, and so those people have to be listened to also.
Yes,
but you have to say why and how. I'm going to do a comedy set here pretty soon, and one of it is going to be on women's locker room talk, just to come up with what they would say.
You know what? I will tell you something, right? Every man should go work for two women. I did this for about 7 years. Wow. Okay, in an industry where you almost become forgotten that you're a man, you are like a fly on the walls of the women's locker room. Okay,
yes.
Guys, you have no clue.
None whatsoever.
I don't think it's going to take you 24 years like you did in Santa Ana to get material. It's going to be a lot shorter. That's the answer. Same thing.
I don't think so.
Yeah. No, but I mean, just to kind of piggyback a little bit on your point, yes, I think the level of frustration in this country that is echoed through support for Donald Trump, say whatever you else want about policies, the support for Bernie Sanders, 71-year-old Jewish man from New York,
socialist,
basically
right.
has every millennial wanting to vote for him. What does that say to you? What is it? Everybody's got a grandpa problem?
Why he's going to give him free education.
And
also.
Poor,
but I think it's the frustration level.
Why did the so-called Reagan Democrats, they used to call them, who are now the base, why did these poor non-college educated whites who lost their job when industry fled, why did they think Donald Trump, a billionaire,
is
their savior?
Whenever you have a problem in society and you don't have enough money, you have to blame someone.
Oh, yeah, right.
And immigrants are the first ones to blame.
So I think that's a great segue because
there used to be a National Lampoon cover that said, I'm okay, you're Puerto Rican.
I know, Nancy, and you addressed this. But like, okay, so why are certain people seem more comfortable in situations and dealing with these things versus others? I mean, what makes people different that way?
You have to have
alcohol
this in your life every day. Well, alcohol helps. Remember the dark beer?
Just open another one.
If you practice it, it's almost like the person who exercises and Rufus works out, and that's your muscle. Well, an improv is a muscle, you know, and you use it more frequently than you could use it in any situation. When something terrible happens, when somebody wants to say something mean, you know what to come back. Some people are like, oh, you don't do it that often. Again, it's going to be rusty.
And it also staves off Alzheimer's, right, Nancy Ann? Because you have to use your brain in a different
There are so many correlations to preventing the, dementia from setting in.
Yeah, because I was going
to
ask you, like, why senior centers? And I guess you just answered that question.
Well, that's how I started.
Yeah,
and it's true. The seniors, sometimes I'll go in and we'll just end up singing old songs, tell me a song.
And it's a captive audience, too.
They can't run as fast.
She likes the smell of Bengay. She likes prune juice daiquiris. That's why she's there all the time.
You know, it's funny because that ties in right with some of the research about memory associated with music, sound, smells,
and the sounds and the music. It brings them back. You know, I'll say your name is Raj. What's a song that you remember? And you'll probably come up with some from the 60s or 70s. But a lot of them will go way far back, and they'll all remember it. And I've had people crying.
I mean, we're talking about cases of agitation and how this basically is a mindset that you take.
It's a mindset,
right? But it's true because people that suffer from dementia, so people some suffering from Alzheimer's, and especially if it's a progressive situation, they're in a state of agitation. Now their agitation may be because all of a sudden they feel that they're not in a familiar surroundings, they can't relate to stuff around them, et cetera, et cetera. So that core primal connection with something as simple as a song, a couple of bars of notes,
brings them back
some sort, brings them back to that safe spot in their memory that causes them to maybe come down from that level of agitation.
Should we take a break here and then come back and wrap this up here, or should we just keep going?
No, let's take a break.
All right, let's take a break.
Just so we can all breathe.
So Nancy Ann can go use the restroom and drink some beer.
She's getting nervous looking.
Dark beer. Right. It's after 12, right?
We'll be right
somewhere.
We'll be right back.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher. If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
All right, we're back. We're back.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking about how to lead a healthier life through actually letting things go.
Yes,
through finding the fun and thing. Okay, well,
through
look,
improv.
I was just handed a card.
Let's see what do we have.
Wait, can I do the? Yeah. Can I do the Carson?
Right? Oh, remember Carson? Carson. Yeah. Carson. Oh, here we go.
The great Carnage.
How the hell did he look at these cards when he didn't look at it?
He looked at it.
Was he cross-eyed? He's like, kind of like...
So let's read the card. Improv for Health.
Okay, Improv for Health's daily reminders. Can we get a little somber music?
These are our daily reminders.
Can I get some kind of... Paul, come on, work with me, people.
Right. Okay. We like music, Paul.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, I like that.
I think we should go around.
Okay.
Should we go around?
I like that.
Sam, why don't you lead us?
Your first daily reminder is use yes and every day.
Give an example, Nancy.
Yes, and after we're done here, we're going to go out to beer and lunch, and then you can go to your meeting.
Okay, good. I like that. Hank, you want to go take
number two?
Number two of your daily reminders, embrace the unexpected.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Baby, when the unexpected comes, embrace it.
Embrace that.
Embrace.
Yo, you can do a better one than that. A little deeper.
Embrace the
unexpected. A little
unexpected.
More Barry White there.
Baby, take off that brassiere, my dear.
Embrace the unexpected.
Whoa,
embrace
the unexpected.
It broke, but you don't care.
whatever happens.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. If it's unexpected, you don't shy away. You embrace it, baby.
Paul, you want to take the next one?
I say you learn to see the humor in all situations.
Oh, I see your cigar.
Nice one there. This one is a good one for me to remember.
Ooh.
Listen actively.
What'd you say?
Yes, and. Listen actively. And let's close out with Nancy Ann again.
Take risk. Remember, mistakes and even failures are okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I think we need an applause
exactly.
for everybody.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That's a nice one. Thank you.
Listen actively. Rad, I think that means the Lord gave you two ears and only one mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're supposed to listen two times as much as you speak.
Yeah, but then we'd be a lot of dead air time on the show, right?
Yes, and
everybody has an opinions are like elbows. Everybody's got
right,
two of them.
Bum, bum, bum.
I'm going to start calling Yes and Nancy Ann.
Yes, and.
Yes, Nancy Ann.
That's my new name.
Yes and Nancy Ann.
That's my.
That could
new
be like
name.
Actually the you know. introducing her on stage.
Yes, Nancy Ann.
Yes, Ann.
Yes, Ann.
Yes, Ann. Here she is.
The other one that you didn't put on here, which is Rod's favorite, is Be in the Moment, which is the other thing you do.
No, that's very much part of it.
On the front, it says enjoy your moments.
Yeah, be in the moment.
That is, you know, be in the moment.
Don't worry about it now.
Can you read it now?
Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what's coming next.
Be in the moment. Don't worry.
So it is actually something, and we were joking about this and we're laughing about it, but it's actually pretty serious. I mean, you need to do that, especially with the intensity at which we live our lives these days.
That's true.
The constant bombardment with stuff, the demands on our personal lives, all the stuff's happening around us. It's very easy to feel kind of like rudderless, you know, to feel kind of overwhelmed. I think it
wasn't until you pointed it out.
Who needs a rudder? Slap on a motor.
Go, baby.
Let's go. Yeah.
Okay, so how do we find joy and love in every day?
It's there. People are pushing it away. I mean, you know, just going back to that young girl at Macy's, she was like so intent on just being her secretary that she did. And I said, no, you know, people just want to stay in this little elevated box.
Well, look what happened at the last debate.
You know,
ugly, back and forth, mud, sling, slap. Everything. And the last question, somebody stands up in the town hall and says, don't you guys have anything good to say about each other? And everybody just, that resonated, the whole thing. Everybody just, like, let air out of the balloon. Everybody was just so relieved. Can't we say something?
I was impressed when Hillary did say to Donald that I admire your kids, because that does say something. I'm a mom of two boys, and they're great kids. So I always say the good kids have to go somewhere. My husband go to a crazy mom.
And I was waiting for Trump to go, yes, my girls have great racks, don't they?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't they? And I paid
a lot
expecting
for them. But he didn't. I was like, but it is true.
It did say a lot when
I was impressed when he said to her, you know what, you can say what you will about Hillary, but she's tough and she's a fighter. And I think she is tough. Yeah. I think she's been fighting her whole life.
But what's lost in everything, and it's into that politics makes strange bedfellows. Mm-hmm. They were all buddies. Yeah. They were buds back
There's
in the day.
Oh, yeah.
At weddings
again,
and stuff.
And he'll be eating at the White House dinner.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that, well, that's the
and they're the one percenters?
That's the lawyer kind of view. You know, you attack each other in court and then you go out and laugh about it. Boy, you really got me on that one. Well, I'll get you the next time.
And I used to hate that in court afterwards. Yes. And I'm a sports guy and I played a lot of sports. And I'm acrimonious towards my opponents usually. But afterwards, these lawyers get together and shake their hands and go, hey, I made $250 an hour. What'd you do? And they're on
really
to the next.
And they attack each other and call each other the worst names and attack their
and play golf later on Tuesday.
I want to just go back to something you were saying about the gala at Macy's, right?
Yes.
And we were saying, you know, what love and joy is there. It's just people are pushing it away, okay? Is it about not being open to it? Why do people push it away? Is it a sense of I'm comfortable in my limitations?
It's arguing
for my limitations? What is
she knows that this is her job. Going back to the woman that was a legal secretary, well, I go in, I hand them my resume. And I said, but you enjoy organizing. That's a skill. People are afraid to think outside their little box. So when you start doing that through improvisation, you know, take my classes. I even do improv on Skype. So it's actually the
She's
more...
She's still plugging this business.
It's true. The more you do it every day, you know, it just becomes a little more
Well, it's also,
normal.
if you only do what you've done, you're only going to get what you've ever gotten.
Can
so
I offer another
you jump off that.
Yeah, offer another... Yeah, offer one, Paul.
That's true.
In the Midwest, where I grew up, lives can be a little boring, especially in the winter, right?
Cow tipping.
I say it adds drama. You've said this before. Some people just like to add drama to their life, like the husband and wife that fight, and then.
But that's why I think
drama adds. We think adds a certain excitement.
But, okay,
to life.
So let's just say go back to one thing. It is a choice.
It's a choice.
Hands down,
choice,
right?
I use that
personal,
word a lot.
It's a personal
choice,
right? And there are some people that choose to benchmark their life with what struggles and tribulations and. Turbulent waters they got through, you know, and I don't understand it, but I know that it's there. And it almost seems sometimes like we are afraid to be happy. We're afraid to find the humor in life. It's like
free of struggle,
it's actually
free of drama.
Scary to be free and open
now
to receive
And the more
that.
You have that in your life, the joy, the happiness, it's not going to age you. It's going to make you younger. I'm like Benjamin Button. Every birthday, I get younger and younger.
And think, and think
we
about
better
the
book her on the show real soon. Because I, you know,
she's
going to
be so young. She'll be in diapers next week.
Take care of the kids.
She'll be in diapers next week, and they won't be Depends. But, yeah, and just to piggyback on that, think about the oldest actors you know. Mm-hmm. Where did they come from, and what kind of, what was their genre? Mm-hmm. You look at Betty White.
Betty
she's
White.
Still kicking it.
Betty
what
White.
Does she do?
She has a high number.
What did Bob Hope? How old was he? What was Rochester? What was the guy?
There was a video on Facebook of Dick Van Dyke
still
dancing the other day.
Mm-hmm. Like his 90th birthday party.
90th birthday that party, was, and the man is doing things that you're like, wow.
I would have to put a plug in because Tank appear with Betty White recently?
Did you appear with Betty White?
Yes, I was on To Tell the Truth. As with the
come on, tell the truth.
The new one.
I was a brand new one with the Village People, the lead singer of the Village People. You had to decide which one of us was the real cop and which one of us was the
and some
the
people actually
one.
Thought
and
he was
had to,
funny.
And we had
he
to dance to the YMCA at the end. And they told us, don't get too close to Miss White because she...
she smells.
Yeah. No. She kind of teeters. And if we accidentally, you know, buttered her down, she'll hit the ground. She's an icon, you know. They literally put us and the former basketball player, all 6'8" of him, between us while we're dancing and stuff because... And she's
her.
Old. I mean, she's old. Like I think she did have slaves. She's that old.
Wow.
She is old. Her face is on the $5 bill.
Well, her name is Betty White.
It is White. Betty White, exactly. Exactly.
That's pretty good. That's funny. So I think because
last,
I think we're going
yeah,
to
yeah.
close to this. So
what's the lesson?
Yes, and is one of the lessons from today.
The
other one is being, well, and we say that all the time, and it's not just flippant.
And life is a choice.
And it's all about choices.
It's all about what you're going to choose.
And you have the power to make that choice, regardless what else you think. You do have actually the power, you just have to have the courage to make the choice.
We don't live in the country where they tell you how to think, even though some people think we do.
Even some people like to be that country.
Well, I think they try, but I think
they have the choice.
The choice. You have a choice here. You have a choice to get to places early. I choose to get in my car 3 hours early before I have to get to L.A.
Can I ask you one quick question before we go? Do you think comedy is in danger right now? And I say that not flippantly because at one time, network television was filled with comedy. In fact, there was a period there, the Roseanne years and Tim Allen and whatnot and Seinfeld, who went from stand-up to sitcoms and movies. Mm-hmm. And then we went through the kind of silly Mike Myers kind of potty humor kind of stuff, and we've kind of stayed there. The Will Ferrell and all this stuff, the boy acting as the man. I mean, the man acting as the boy, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems like comedy, they can't seem to launch comedies anymore. Comedy clubs aren't proliferating like they were at one point in time. We don't seem to have a lot of comedy in movies these days.
Well, a lot of this is the internet. I hate to say it, but and a lot of people think they're funny. Go to an open mic night, and we go to open mics all the time. It's like
we
stop. But you go to hone your craft.
Sure,
but it's almost like pornography. And I don't want to denote it, but you don't have to go and buy a hustler anymore. You can sit in front in your underwear, like you said, and just pull out your
whatever
your iPad. You can pull out your iPad, and you can get it. So the same with comedy.
Yes.
You don't have to look at bad comedy. You can decide on whomever you want to see and just go to your iPad. You don't have to go out. But the best ones, the best comedians are pulling them in. The worst ones, not so much, but there's just so many
they're
now.
They're
still
filling up clubs. When I was at the Irvine Improv, I had 500 people there.
So it might be that it's not necessarily that comedy is in danger of dying. I think it may be just re-presenting itself in a different medium.
Things are cyclical. Like
and that's true.
And you have a lot more to weed through because everybody pretty much has a cell phone and basically can be a media
that's
personality in 2 seconds doing something stupid, right? But
you need a niche.
We talk about
but we don't seem to be developing comedy. Comedy seems to be going into the lowest common denominator. More and more comedy is doing something stupid and slapstick and saying being stupid, being drunk, being a jerk. What's the whole series?
Well, then us as the viewers need to not watch that. Don't go that way.
Right. And where's the clever comedy? Learn. Where's the insightful comedy?
Right, but you know
comedy?
What? When did the Segerstrom, when Mel Brooks showed up at the Segerstrom, it was a full house.
Yeah.
Because he's an icon.
But I think...
Where's the new Mel Brooks? Where's the new Mel Brooks?
Well, but that question can be applied to everything, Paul. Yeah, I mean, I think, where's the next this thing? And when's the next that thing? And to be honest, I saw a comic in one of the Sunday papers, and it said, it's so great that everything I need is on the internet. Mm-hmm. And then it said, it's so great that everything is on the internet. Right? Yeah. So the point is that there's so much more to read through. There's so much more crap to read versus it used to be done for us. Right. It used to be filtered before it was given to us, right?
Right.
Now we have a choice to filter it.
So it's coming at us like a fire hose and we can't.
It is, and I think that's part of the overwhelming.
Right.
That's part of the stress, okay? And again, it is a personal choice
that you don't
have to be attached to your phone on every second and every notification on Facebook. You don't have to sit there and watch bad shows, right?
So the good news is nobody's curating it and sifting through it and only presenting a handful of comedy. The bad news is nobody's curating and sifting.
That's exactly, the point.
Use your brain. Yeah,
it's exactly the point. Now it has become more your responsibility, my responsibility.
Oh, I hate that.
Exactly. I'd rather somebody just tell me what to do. No,
it's, I hate that.
Exactly where we started off. It is about somebody telling me what to do versus me thinking for myself.
I got to tell you what to do. We're out of time.
Bummer.
Yes, tell me that. I'm still going to keep going on anyway.
Keep going.
That was a quick hour.
That went way quick.
So why don't you guys give the audience or the listeners
how to reach you,
how to find
where
out
you're
more about
appearing
what
next,
doing.
All that. Yeah,
I am going to be at a bar up in L.A. It's called the Airliner. I don't think it's a.
But you're not appearing there. You're just going to be at the bar.
No, I am doing stand up.
She's not there. She's in the restaurant.
I'm doing stand up at the Airliner.
Where's the Airliner?
And the Airliner is up in L.A.
Okay,
isn't that a strip club up there?
No, it's not. No, it's a
your corner. Let her
it's
talk.
A comedy show.
Oh, okay.
And it's next Tuesday evening. I'm going to be with some good comics. That's my next thing coming
up. Interesting. I haven't ever heard of that place.
It's in downtown LA.
Okay.
And if they would like to reach me, I have the website, Improv for Health. My email is improvforhealth@gmail.com. And we could do Skype. We could do improv in your office and all kinds of ways.
Could I do it in my underwear, though? No.
As long as you're at home. And
on Skype.
I don't care. I don't care what the heck you're wearing.
Okay.
And
Mr.
And
Tank,
I'm going to be at Betty's Boom Boom House. Sylvia's House of Sid. Actually, I signed an NDA. I have something coming up pretty exciting, but I can't talk about it.
Non-disclosure agreement.
But I'm also going to be at, that's a private party. So, yeah, I'm just out there. But if you ever want, I have some of my acting on Facebook. It's at Rufus Tank Tanksley. I was just in one of these Vote No on Prop 61. I had no idea what it was, but they were paying me, so I looked like a doctor in there. A Jewish doctor. I work for tips. Anyway,
seriously, folks.
I appreciate everything the show has. And OC, I've never heard of the talk radio.
Now you have,
and I'm going to start telling all my friends that actually have no work and no job.
Have nothing to do during the day.
Wait, that's our best audience, actually.
Exactly. Actually, people go to work at noon, and they eat their sandwiches, and they could be listening to you, and this is a rad idea, right?
It's a rad show.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me.
I love the show. Thank you for letting me get it.
By the way, I'm going to put out an invitation. I don't know what it is that you can't talk about, but when you can talk about it,
come back.
Come on back.
I will definitely do so. It's very exciting. Thank you.
Okay, and I want to just give a shout out because she's sitting off on the corner, and it's Deborah Pearson who
I have to say, Debbie's beautiful. She smells great.
Let's give her applause, please, will you?
Yeah,
let's
give her applause.
DP.
Yes, our DP.
Thank you.
And so I want to just acknowledge Deborah because she does a lot to secure some great talent for the show to come in as guests.
She does, right.
And she's sitting in the corner away from camera. I also want to give a congratulations to my buddy Freddie Dominguez, who just won in the Senior Care Heroes Award. So
he's
been on the show.
Nice.
And I know Freddie. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, and I want to thank Senior Surf for letting me do some interviews of some of the award recipients recipients and some of the finalists on the red carpet last Saturday.
Did we capture those?
Those are on the Senior Serve Facebook page.
Okay.
And I have put links, I believe, on my personal page, but we will share them on the Rad Life page. It was really great. We had a couple of doctors. It was an awesome event. All the money goes to Senior Serve Meals on Wheels, and they feed about a million. They put out about a million meals a year.
Wow. Nice.
In Southern California. They're the largest nonprofit doing it. So anyway,
thank you guys for being on the show.
You know, and remember, everybody, you have a choice to laugh, you have a choice to be happy, you have a choice to lower your blood pressure. You don't have to go pay for
a high-priced,
you know, life coach. You can start with taking responsibility
with Improv Health
and laughing. And then, if you can't do that yourself, or you get started and you get kind of hooked on it, talk to Nancy Ann at Improv.
Nice.
Yes, and we're all done.
Yes, and yes. Thank you.
And always listen to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.